we inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
This is a battle of worldviews.
And we activate.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to The Core here on American Family Radio Network. Good to be with you today on the program. It's our Friday edition of The Core. And as we do each Friday, we'll have on Chris Woodward with us in the last segment, bringing us the news headlines from American Family News. Hey, if you're looking for a news source that covers the news of the day from a Christian perspective, American Family News is the place to go. And they've been around for a long time now, have a team of very experienced reporters, and we're covering all the news from a Christian perspective. And so you can go there. If you want trusted news, go over to American Family News. We'll have Chris Woodward on with us, one of their reporters, here in just a little while. We're broadcasting today from Purcell Farms in small town Alabama, Sylacauga, Alabama. That's where we are today, broadcasting from our annual AFA retreat. So good to be with you today on the program. We heard from Pastor Robert Jeffress yesterday evening here at the retreat. And we'll have our good friend Jeff Shreve, Sandy Rios, Stephen McDowell, and others here at the AFA retreat. Speaking of the retreat and the events that we do around the country, hey, if you haven't met us in person, then I want to encourage you to start coming to some of our events. We host events all around the country throughout the year, some years busier than others. But one of those events that we have coming up in just a few months is our annual Marriage Family Life Conference. So marriagefamilylife.net is that URL. July 6th through 8th is the date of the conference, July 6th through 8th this year in Tupelo, Mississippi. Go to marriagefamilylife.net, register. $75 per adult, $50 per child. Yes, bring the children. That's encouraged. It is a family conference. One of the best family conferences in the nation, I believe. We have a youth apologetic track and an adult track for both the entire family. MarriageFamilyLife.net is that URL. Psalm 65 is where we are today. Psalm chapter 65 is where we are this week. Praise is due to you, says David, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. David ends this verse 4 by saying, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holiness of your temple. So paint this picture of entering the court of a high judge, in this case, the Most High Judge, Holy of Holies, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, entering his court and being fully satisfied. You know, in the world today, we see where people look for satisfaction in all kind of different ways, all kind of different places, and we really see a lot of dissatisfaction. You know, as much wealth that exists in the West today, specifically in America, we sure are a bunch of unsatisfied people. I mean, you look at the surveys. We covered the Wall Street Journal University of Chicago survey earlier in the week that showed a precipitous decline in patriotism, in value of faith, in value of family, in value of children, and community. I mean, that you saw almost near 50 to 60% drops in the last 25 years in some of the most important values that make this nation up. And so you look at America and you say, we're the wealthiest, we're the most prosperous, the highest quality of living, and some of those things are true, but yet we're the most unhappy and really one of the most morally bankrupt nations in the West, we're talking, in modern history. There's a reason for that. It's because we've forsaken God. We've forsaken God. We've pushed him out. We've told God we don't need you. I'm talking about as a society, as a culture. And that has consequences. That has very serious consequences, not only short-term, but also long-term consequences. So David tells us, where do we find our full satisfaction? We find it in the goodness of the Lord and the goodness of his house, in the holiness of the Lord's temple. That's our scripture for today, Psalm chapter 65. You know, we can't go without talking about the elephant in the room, and that is this political and criminal indictment of President Trump that just broke yesterday. Honestly, I wasn't sure that it would go this far. We know the vitriol and hatred that many have in our nation against President Trump, the former president. But this is the most extreme of the extreme. And it's surprising, but yet not surprising. We saw him impeached twice, at least impeachment articles brought up against him twice, although he wasn't removed from office. But the vitriol against the former president has been in existence for a long time, ever since he first said he was going to run for president in 2015. So, but this is a step, you know, a step further. And it really shows, you know, not only are the underlying charges very frivolous, very much on shaky ground legally, and I would be shocked if he's actually, you know, formally convicted by a jury of peers, although New York is a very liberal bastion. But this shows the length that the Marxist God-haters will go to ensure that no one dare face them. No one dare stand against them. And no matter what you think about President Trump, he was a fighter when he was in office. I mean, he was a fighter. He did a lot of good things, especially for the Christians, for the Christian community. He appointed a lot of good judges. He fought back against a lot of the government overreach and the bureaucrats and the deep state and the Democrats. He did a lot of fighting, definitely upset the status quo, and now they're going after him continually. I mean, this is a man that's been out of office for 2 years, and they're still pursuing him. I mean, this is their obsession. This is their obsession, and I don't think they'll stop until they put him in jail. I don't think they'll stop till they put him in jail. Will it be successful? Most likely not. But I just want to emphasize to all of our listeners that this is the strategy of the Marxist God haters that want to destroy this nation. It's not just about President Trump. It's about all of us. I mean, we've seen this type of abuse of the criminal process and the criminal code. We saw it with Jack Phillips through the civil realm. We saw it with Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado. We saw it with Baronelle Stutzman, also a florist from Washington State. We've seen it with pro-lifers over the past year or two, where you've had the Biden DOJ going after people who defend life, who protect babies, who dare to speak up against the abortion catastrophe. And so this is their strategy. I mean, our opponents are fierce, they are committed, and not much is going to make them stop. So that's why it's all the more important that we stand bold, we stand courageous, and we have to understand as Christians that sometimes we're going to face challenges. Sometimes we're going to face difficulties. Sometimes, you know, the powers of government, although God created government as a force for good, evil can consume government at times. We've seen that throughout human history. Evil people can take control of government and use what's intended for good for evil purposes. I wanted to read what a well-known legal commentator and law professor, Jonathan Turley, had to say. This is a gentleman who used to be a longtime Democrat, by the way, Jonathan Turley, law professor. And he said this, he called this Trump indictment legally pathetic. He said it's historic and it's not necessarily good history that is being made. It's not that I oppose the indictment of a former president in general, he said. He said, I don't even oppose the indictment of a sitting president on a constitutional basis. But what he said is, he went on to say, this is Jonathan Turley, by the way. He said, but this indictment, if it is reportedly following the theory that we've been talking about, it is political. It is a raw political prosecution. Now the indictment may come out with a crime that none of us have heard of. But for many months, this bootstrapping theory has been put out there. This idea that you could take a misdemeanor under New York law that has expired, that has a 2-year statute of limitations, and revive it by connecting it to a federal crime, in this case, the federal election violation. So that's what Jonathan Turley is saying here. So you have that, but then listen to this. This is on a Breitbart. Listen to the headline here. To show the utter hypocrisy and the misplaced priorities, Biden appointed U.S. District Attorney in the D.C. area has refused to prosecute 70% of those arrested in the nation's capital. 70%, technically 67%. This the Democrats and District Attorney Bragg from New York. This is the group of people that are soft on crime. This is what I highlighted on Wednesday. They are notorious for being soft on crime. It's the same cabal that partnered with President Trump when he was in office to pass the social justice reform, the justice reform legislation that would supposedly let nonviolent criminals out early or allow them to be let out early if they meet certain criteria. So President Trump teamed up with the Democrats to pass criminal justice reform so that nonviolent offenders can get let out earlier. And so the Democrats have been notorious for years for being unserious about crime in America. I mean, you look at Chicago, Chicago's like a war zone. Chicago's like a war zone run by Democrats for decades upon decades. Reading further into this story, listen to this. Crime has spiked in Washington, D.C. in recent months after Biden appointed U.S. District Attorney for the District of Columbia, his name's Matthew Graves, refused to prosecute 67% of those arrested who would have been put on trial in the D.C. Superior Court, according to 2022 district statistics. Among those Graves declined to prosecute were some 52% of all felony arrests, along with 72% of misdemeanor arrests. The U.S. Attorney's Office of Annual Statistical Reports revealed Graves, who was nominated by President Joe Biden on July 26 of 2021 and confirmed in October of 21, admitted to the Washington Post that the lack of prosecutions has mostly applied to those arrests for gun possession, drug possession, and burglaries. Okay, so get this. This is the party of gun control. This is a party of big government. This is the party of heavy-handed, you know, going after our political opponents or their political opponents. But the real criminals, not President Trump, but the real criminals who are in illegal possession of a firearm, illegal possession of drugs, and burglaries, they're not even getting charged, folks. They're not even getting prosecuted. They're getting arrested, they're getting booked, they may be getting charged, but they're not getting prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office. And so this selective criminal prosecution should really intimidate all of us. It doesn't matter how you vote, liberal, Democrat, Republican, conservative, middle, I don't care. The only thing that the left cares about is putting in jail everyone that disagrees with them. And somehow it's the Republicans that are a threat to democracy. We've still got people in jail for January 6th trespassing without trial. They've been in jail for 2 years without trial. And now they're going after President Trump with some phony charges that won't hold up with the jury, all for political points. This should scare everybody. This should intimidate everybody. Every Democrat across this nation that voted Democrat in 2020 ought to speak up against this prosecution.
At the Core podcast are available at AFR.net. Now, back to At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to The Core. Glad to have you with us today on the program. This is our second edition of The Core on this Friday edition. Glad to have you with us once again. Hey, if you want to watch the program, you can. Streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net. You can watch The Core there on our video platform. By the way, you can create a free account. All right, takes you just a couple minutes. Create a free account. Not only watch the show live, The Core, watch other shows as well, and watch great content. A lot of our great documentaries, church curriculum, etc. I do want to introduce our next guest and jump into this very, very important topic. We have on with us now Jamison Taylor, Director of Policy and Legislative Affairs at the American Family Association, working on great pro-family legislation around the nation. Hey, Jamison, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Walker?
Hey, doing well, Jamison. Hey, Jamison, you're working in several states now that are in session for the state legislature on various pieces of legislation, mostly that are in favor of religious freedom, protecting children, shoring up the American family. But you've been heavily focused in the state of Mississippi on a couple different pieces of important legislation. Bring us up to speed on some of the things you're working on.
Yeah, we've been doing some really innovative things here in Mississippi. AFA just worked on two bills to combat the pornography public health crisis that's going on. One is to require age verification for users of pornographic websites. And this is going to be a firewall to prevent kids from getting access to hardcore pornography. Unfortunately, kids are also getting access to softcore and hardcore pornography when they do their homework, when they're using public library and public school library databases. There are these subscription services that kids can use to do research papers and all kinds of things like that. Unfortunately, the left has figured out that they can influence kids, not only by exposing them to pornography, but we've also seen the gambling industry, the marijuana industry, use these databases to expose kids to all kinds of bad things. So Mississippi just passed very innovative legislation to require the vendors offering these databases to clean that up so that kids will be safe when they do their homework. Now, you know, we're talking about a lot of these challenges we see in schools, CRT, Marxism, pornography, and we wonder, you know, where's God? It feels like God is dead in public schools in particular. We're all familiar with the 1962 Supreme Court decision that banished prayer from public schools. It banished teacher-led prayer from public schools. But there is an answer. A couple of months ago, I started doing research on an idea called moral instruction prayer release time. Now, that's a fancy word to say kids can do Bible studies while they are in public school. Now, how does this work? The way it works is schools will partner with a local church, or let's say if you're in a Jewish community, it might be a synagogue. You can partner with a local church. Kids will leave their school for 1 hour a week to do a Bible study. It's called moral instruction time, prayer release time, some states call it. When I first encountered this idea, it was right after the U.S. Senate passed the Respect for Marriage Act. I was feeling really down. I was like, what do we do next? And, you know, same like likewise today, where we're seeing President Trump is being unfairly prosecuted. And, I mean, really, for he's a political prisoner. They're trying to make him a political prisoner, just as they've done with the people that protested the irregular election occurrences on January 6th. But, you know, it's a time where you can really focus on the negative. But this is an idea that gives me a lot of hope. The way it works is kids partner with a local church, and then they can do a Bible study off-site, off-campus, and learn about Jesus. And these programs are working in states all around the country. They've been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. It's very common in places like Utah, for instance, where the Mormon church is taking advantage of this. In New York City, you have a lot of people in the Jewish community who are taking advantage of this. But other states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Indiana, they all have these programs. So we've been working hard in Mississippi especially partnering with Speaker Philip Gunn, to pass a bill to allow this program in Mississippi. You know, Mississippi's the most religious state in America, but we don't have this program. It's astonishing to me. Now, unfortunately, the bill's died already three times in the Mississippi Senate. And so what we're hitting up, you know, it's against strong political winds in the Senate, and we need Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hoseman to support this idea. This is something that pastors and churches really support in Mississippi, and this is something that would help kids in our public schools.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is I like what we're doing here, Jameson, because we're playing offense. You know, oftentimes Christians and conservatives catch themselves playing defense all the time, but we've got to play offense too. Equally, we've got to play offense and advance good things, moral things, virtuous things, and this is one of them. And as you mentioned, Jameson, we're facing a little bit of headwind in the state legislature, specifically with the lieutenant governor and others on the state Senate, but we got to get this thing through the finish line. And yes, it's true that other people of other religious backgrounds and other ideologies can utilize this release time, if you will. But we're going to need, should this pass, and we're optimistic that this legislation, that this prayer release time or this moral instruction release time passes the state legislature, signed by the governor, we're going to need Christians all around the state to step up to the plate, churches to step up to the plate, and have volunteers, members of the church that are willing to participate in this program to teach youth. So we've got to do this. We've got to step up to the plate when this becomes available. Jameson, what's the timeline here? I mean, we got to get this bill passed. This is a no-brainer. This is a very conservative bill that is good, directly in line with the role that our founding fathers saw as far as teaching moral things to our children, teaching them the Ten Commandments, teaching them the ways of God so that we can have a very moral and virtuous society. What's the timeline here on getting this thing to the finish line and sending it to the governor's desk?
Well, the timeline is today and tomorrow. The session is rapidly coming to a close. Speaker Gunn has really been pushing this idea. He had a bill on it that died in the Senate back in February. He put it into another bill. That bill died a couple of days ago. He's been pushing even harder to get the bill revived. It's, you know, as of last night, that didn't happen. And so we really need people to start to call their Mississippi state senators and also to call the Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hoseman and encourage him to pass this prayer release time bill. Yeah, it's as you said, it's a no-brainer, especially for Mississippi. It's 100% constitutional, and it's a way to bring the gospel to kids. That's really the most important thing, that we can turn lives around through this.
Yeah, I want to highlight two things before we wrap up, Jameson. I want to highlight, number one, Speaker Philip Gunn in the state of Mississippi. I mean, Speaker Gunn has been a fighter. He's been pivotal in advancing some of the most critical, pivotal conservative legislation in American history over the past 5 to 10 years. He's had his hands in many of these bills that you've worked on and others have worked on in Mississippi. That's the first thing, is to give credit where credit is due, and that's Speaker Philip Gunn in Mississippi, a leader that many people around the nation may not know about. But secondly, people might be asking, some of our listeners might be asking, well, how does this affect me? You know, I live in Alabama, I live in you know, Virginia or Florida. How does this affect me? Well, folks, the legislation that American Family Association and our allies are passing in Mississippi, in Arkansas, in Florida, and other states, it sets the stage for this type of legislation to be passed around the nation. I mean, Jameson, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're not just stopping in Mississippi. I mean, our goal is to get these type bills passed in every state possible.
Yeah, that's right. And so I encourage listeners in other states, reach out to me, Jameson Taylor at AFA.net, or through our other AFA channels. Reach out to us, and we can help bring these innovative ideas to your state. There's some states that have this program, but many others don't. And it's really, it's kind of what I call one of the best kept secrets that Christians are not taking advantage of. I mean, this is a complete game changer that we should be using, just as, for instance, the Mormons in Utah are using this, to the extent that you even have churches that are often across the street from public schools, so that all kids have to do is walk across the street. And just imagine, you know, we complain about prayer not being in the public schools, but this is a way to bring that gospel to get to kids. Again, it's 100% constitutional, and states have been doing it for more than 100 years. So, yes, we would love to partner with folks around the country. If you don't have this in your state, please contact AFA. Again, that's Jameson Taylor at AFA.net. And for our folks in Mississippi, I encourage you to call Delbert Hoseman's office. His number is 601-359-3200. Call Lieutenant Governor and ask him, you know, be polite, be respectful, and say, hey, this is an idea that can really help public school kids in Mississippi. It's linked to better academic performance. It's certainly linked to you know, better behavior and things like that. But literally, we're talking about eternal life here. And what gift is more important than that?
Hey, that's right. Hey, Jameson, before I give out the Lieutenant Governor's number one more time for the people in Mississippi, what's this bill number? If people in Mississippi are calling their state legislator, what is this bill number?
Well, so the bill numbers have changed so much because we've been looking for different vehicles for this language. So I think if you just leave it at, hey, we really want you to pass prayer release time. Again, it's also called moral instruction release time. Please pass the prayer release time bill. They're going to know exactly what you're talking about. The bill's very much on their radar. They just need some encouragement to get this passed today or tomorrow here in Mississippi.
Excellent. Hey, the number one more time for our folks in Mississippi to call the Lieutenant Governor's office and respectfully ask him to support this legislation in his chamber, 601-359-3200. That's 601-359-3200. Jameson, last word. We got about a minute left. Last word before we let you go.
Yeah, I ask everyone just around the country to pray for the spread of this program. You know, it's so important also just to pray for your political leaders, folks here in Mississippi. Thank God for the leadership of Speaker Philip Gunn, and pray for our Lieutenant Governor that he supports this program, and pray for your lawmakers. It's really, you know, we have seen the power of prayer over and over again when, for instance, we worked together on overturning Roe v. Wade and worked together on religious liberty issues. So don't underestimate prayer, but God wants you to work too. And so please make these phone calls and get in touch with AFA, and we can bring this program to your state.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, Jameson. God bless your work, brother, and we'll be in touch soon.
Thanks, Walker.
All right, thanks, Jameson. That's Jameson Taylor, Director of Policy and Legislative Affairs at the American Family Association. Hey, speaking of, like, model legislation and legislation that AFA and our government affairs affiliate, AFA Action, are working on, we actually have this stuff published on our website. All right, this is not, you know, secretive legislation or non-public legislation. If you go over to afaaction.net, afaaction.net, that's our, once again, that's our government affairs affiliate organization, of which I head up, afaaction.net. If you click on government renewal, we have the text to this model legislation. All right, so you can print off, or you can copy the URL to this model legislation and send it to your lawmaker in your state. I mean, this is easy stuff. We make it as plain as day. If you go over to afaaction.net, click on the Center for Government Renewal, and then there's a link to model legislation. We can link that on our podcast page as well this afternoon. But we've got tax credits for pregnancy resource centers. That's model legislation. We've got tax credits for adoption agencies and foster care nonprofits. We've got obscenity laws that help protect children, database obscenity laws that help protect children. I mean, we've got all this stuff that we've worked on, we put the sweat in on, Jameson's worked on, and this is what is being presented around a nation in these various states. Once again, that's afaaction.net, afaaction.net. So if you wonder, you know, when you support American Family Association, American Family Radio, when you call in, by the way, we've got our Share-a-thon coming up in about 2 weeks, but when you support the work of AFA and American Family Radio, you're supporting so much. I mean, think about this. You're not just supporting, you know, a 24-hour broadcast or 180 radio towers around the nation. We've got people like Jameson writing policy and laws that advance God's truth, that advance biblical morality around the nation. I mean, the whole Dobbs case that overturned Roe v. Wade began in Mississippi with Jameson Taylor at the helm and AFA and others supporting that legislation. That happened just back in, it started in 2017. And then, of course, last year we saw where Roe v. Wade was overturned. So, you know, despite some of the negativity going on in our nation's capital, and yes, there's a lot of negative news to cover, our opponents, our ideological opponents are very, very avid. They're very aggressive. They seem to stop at nothing. And evil does seem to be, you know, advancing in certain areas. But as long as we're here, as long as the body of Christ is here, folks, good things are going to happen. Good things are going to happen. And we're seeing that happen in Mississippi now. So this is this it's called prayer release time, a moral instruction time that we're trying to get passed in Mississippi. And I'll tell you one thing. You know, there's an old saying that courage is courageous. And, you know, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Governor Tate Reeves in Mississippi, Governor DeSantis in Florida, amongst others, you know, whenever they show courage, whenever they go full steam ahead for biblical values, for conservative principles, limited government, things go well. I mean, things go well, and the opposition really has a hard time stopping them. I mean, look at the governor in Florida. I mean, what has he not been able to do? And why is he so successful? It's not because DeSantis himself, but it's because he has courage, backbone, not afraid of the enemy. And same with the governor in Arkansas, Sarah Sanders, pushing through great, great reforms there in the state of Arkansas. So we need similar stuff going on in Mississippi. We need both chambers. We need the state Senate right now to pass this moral instruction release time so that churches can get involved in praying and teaching the Bible to students. And, of course, we need the governor to sign this legislation. At the Core here on American Family Radio, we'll be back in just a few minutes.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Walker Wildman.
Welcome back to AFA At the Core, or At the Core here on American Family Radio. Glad to have you back with us on the program. This is a Friday edition of The Core. And as we do each Friday, we bring in the great Chris Woodward of American Family News. Chris, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
Well, Chris, we've got a great news team over there at American Family News covering the news of the day all from a Christian perspective. And one story that I mentioned at the beginning of the show and that you guys are covering is this: these charges that have been brought against former President Trump. Bring us up to speed from a news perspective here.
Yeah, something to watch for, and people can read this at AFN.net. Prosecutors say they're working to coordinate Trump's so-called surrender, which could happen early next week, perhaps even as early as Tuesday. And I say that based on some comments people have made to news outlets, including the Associated Press, saying that Trump is, quote, likely to turn himself in on Tuesday. What's interesting here is that, and this is in the story as well on AFN.net, Trump was asked to surrender today, but his attorney said the Secret Service needed additional time as they made security preparations. That's according to two people familiar with the matter speaking to the Associated Press and did not want to be identified. Of course, the exact nature of the charges was unclear still this morning because the indictment remains under seal, but they appear to stem from those so-called hush money payments made during the 2016 presidential campaign to silence claims of an extramarital encounter between Trump and a female going into the 2016 election. A lot of people are responding to this. We had our own Abe Hamilton on last night in our 6 o'clock newscast. Abe said there's no chance for a conviction. Our own Jenna Ellis is also of that opinion that this is not going to lead to a conviction. And then other stories that you can read on our website, AFN.net, you'll see reaction from people like Jesse Waters. He said this is totally unacceptable and a disgrace to our country. Newsmax's Eric Bolling said it's insane. Sean Hannity obviously had big problems with it. He actually had a live studio audience to cover this big announcement. It's an interesting situation, one that I did not think I would see based on the fact that it – you know, Trump said a couple weeks ago, hey, I'm going to be arrested on Tuesday. And then that came and went. And they kept delaying the trial and pushing stuff off. And then lo and behold, last night as we were all getting ready to leave for the day, the news hit. So it's been a busy 24 hours for the news team.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chris, this is pretty, this should be pretty chilling for every American of all background, all ideology, because I think every, I don't know what the exact statistic is, but pretty much every adult citizen commits multiple crimes a day, actually multiple felonies a day,
mm-hmm.
or at least multiple crimes, whether it be misdemeanor or felony a day. Whether it be, you know, going over the speed limit or, you know, parking in the wrong spot or, you know, there's all kind of crimes on the book out there. So sometimes we commit crimes and we don't even know it. And we're not ever, you know, charged or investigated on it. But here we have, you know, to your point, we don't know exactly how long these alleged crimes go back with President Trump. But they're definitely old news at this point, if they're going back to even before his presidential run or during his presidential run. But Chris, this is pretty pretty intimidating from a constitutional standpoint. And as you mentioned, I doubt these charges will hold,
mm-hmm.
And especially with the jury. But this is the weaponization of the prosecutorial process, Chris, to go after political opponents. I mean, this is what they do in North Korea, Russia, and China.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That was one of the things that Abe talked about last night in his second segment when he got into this. He talked about how this appeared, in Abe's opinion, to be more about Democrats trying to get some, you know, court of public opinion swing in their favor to look good to other Democrats. And according to Abe, it has far more to do with the Democrats going after Trump than it does Trump himself. Some people are saying that, you know, he has no problem going to New York and being arrested because then he'll be able to use that as part of his presidential campaign, like Donald Trump, he'll go to jail for you. One of those kinds of things. I would be shocked if we don't see that ad, you know, by this time next Friday on television somewhere, perhaps on Newsmax or some news outlet that Trump does appear on regularly. Trump may actually be, you know, the first president that was like impeached and indicted that still ends up running and getting elected. Time will tell, of course. We got a long time to go before the 2024 election. But he has raised a lot of money, and he has done well in the polls during this whole indictment situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And for those watching the program at streaming.afa.net, we are at our AFA retreat in Sylacauga, Alabama, at Purcell Farms here. And so if you're watching the show and you see that Chris is in studio and I'm not, that's what's going on there. You can watch over at streaming.afa.net. Chris, this is the District Attorney Bragg is a hardcore Democrat, George Soros funded DA, at least when he was elected. This is the party of soft on crime. We've got to let criminals out early. You know, in New York State, they've got the no bail law where you can commit a crime and then that same day you're released because they can't post, but you don't have to post bail. You can just leave until your next hearing. All Democrat-run cities are all leading the nation in crime. Terrible place, you know, for people to live in many scenarios. But Chris, all of a sudden, the Democrats are the party of law and order.
Yeah. It's laughable, right? I mean, Bragg's, you know, if Bragg's crime policy was a type of ice cream, it would be soft serve because that's how hard he is on, you know, actual crime. You have all kinds of horrible stories, and we've talked about them on this network, not just your show, but other things on AFR. I mean, you've got terrible things happening to people just on the street, walking to work, maybe getting some fresh air, walking their dog, people attacked in the subway in front of their house, right out in front of the stoop there in their brownstone or whatever it may be in Brooklyn. And then you have this situation that goes back 7 years, and you're going to spend tax dollars that could be going to go after people that are literally being beaten and robbed and killed. You're using those taxpayer expenses and resources to go after something 7 years ago, which a number of people have already said did not hold water in other efforts to try to go after this. So it's very head-scratching. Mm-hmm. But again, to Abe's point, this appears to be more about Alvin Bragg than it does Donald Trump, at least at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Devin and I were talking a little bit during the break, who's helping us run the technology today. And, you know, he made the point that this is only going to bolster President Trump, I mean, in all areas, because mm-hmm. you've got your hardcore Democrat voters, and they're not going to vote for they're not going to vote for Trump in any century. I mean, there's no chance, zero chance they're ever going to vote for Trump. Those are the hardcore Democrats. They just hate his guts. They can't stand him. But then there's the rest of the country. And really, the people that are appear to be the victim in many scenarios are the ones who get the sympathy. And in this case, I mean, this is going to be a boon in his campaign to get him pictures of him being perp walked in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, there will be a campaign poster of him, you know, the mugshot or something before long. Someone will do it. There's already been the AI photos of him supposedly getting arrested.
Yeah. And Melania was in some of those photos too, like, you know, fighting back the cops. And they look pretty real, but they were, of course, fake. Generated by computers, which is pretty scary, actually, to think that they can do that. Mm-hmm. But, Chris, what are some of the other news stories that you guys over at American Family News are covering this week?
Yeah, well, it's been a rough week, certainly in Mississippi, where Mississippians are still recovering from the tornadoes that occurred a week ago today. Governor Tate Reeves put out some information earlier this week saying I think there were seven tornadoes in the great state of Mississippi. Pretty much everything from west to east Mississippi took one on the chin somehow, some way. Our partners at 8 Days of Hope are in Amory, Mississippi, my hometown, to help people rebuild and recover from that situation. Certainly the people of Rolling Fork over in West Mississippi could use our prayers today, too. I mean, that town was just completely obliterated because of the storms that went through there. Meanwhile, as people were recovering from that storm, obviously we had the Covenant School shooting in the Nashville area this week. Really a tough one. I take no joy as a broadcaster in covering school shootings. The Sandy Hook shooting back in the day was really difficult, and I thank God that we don't always do live newscasts, because I could not get through some of these situations, being a father talking about children dying in situations like that, a father of school children. So it's been a rough week. They had a vigil in Nashville. Police were praised for their quick response, which, by the way, I think is all the more reason why you don't defund the police. Because when you do that, you don't have rapid responses to situations like this. And, of course, one of the other big things with the shooting was the whole back and forth over whether the manifesto should be released. You had a lot of LGBTQIA plus groups saying it's, you know, it's private. We don't want that information out there. But other people, including members of Congress in Tennessee, were like, look, it's a matter of public record. The shooter, who was a female that identified as a man, was killed by police. So why not go ahead and put it out there? It's been a busy week.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Chris, and this school shooting in Nashville, of course, is tragic, very sad what happened there. I will say, and to your point, the officers there, from what we've seen thus far, did an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were on the scene in about 10 to 12 minutes. They were on scene and neutralized the shooter, killed the shooter within minutes after entering the school, and they went straight for the shooter. They didn't sit around twiddling thumbs. They didn't sit around waiting on a SWAT team. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't sit around waiting on, you know, federal agents to come in. The first officer on scene said, let's go. He told his other officers, let's go. It's time to go in. No more waiting. We're going in now. And they killed the shooter within minutes of entering that school. To me, Chris, from a law enforcement perspective, and this isn't even talking about private citizens carrying firearms and defending themselves, but from a law enforcement perspective, of course, there's always ways to improve, and the police chief in Nashville noted that there's always things you can do better. But Chris, wouldn't you agree that that was a textbook case of heroic action on behalf of the officers there?
Yes, I would definitely say that. And a number of people have said that this week in our newscasts and in our stories on AFN.net. I tell you this, if you are a police chief or maybe somebody that oversees a police department and you're listening to this show, thank you for that and thank you for your service. But I would be making efforts to try to get somebody from Nashville to help come and speak to your officers about what you did and why you did it and how you do it and all that kind of stuff so we can learn from these things and follow Nashville's example and avoid the blunders that happened in Texas where, unfortunately, people died because of a lack of response as compared to Nashville. The rapid response there arguably saved lives. And again, it's based on the heroics of officers. It's funny. People praise police when things like this happen, and then, you know, a week goes by and something bad happens, and then people badmouth police.
Yeah, I know. It sure is a tragedy. One thing, Chris, that I've noticed, and I mentioned this earlier in the week, but we've got two truths, really, that we have to recognize as Americans and really people across the world. The first truth is that evil will exist, will always exist until Christ returns and establishes his kingdom. And then there is sin no more. And of course, there's a heaven and a hell involved there for people who believe in Jesus for salvation and those who don't. Of course, there's hell. But until that time, there's going to be sin in the world. There is sin in the world. We're a fallen man. We're a fallen people. So that's the first truth, that evil will always exist on this earth. But secondly, with that truth out there, we have to find ways to minimize the advancement of evil. And just putting this stuff on paper, Chris, the whole gun control narrative, statistically and probability-wise, is irrational. There's no way that passing more laws is going to stop tragedies like this. But I will tell you what, Chris, it's been proven over and over again that when you have more and more responsible gun owners in public, they can also step in, as law enforcement do, and neutralize the threat very quickly.
Yeah, and there have been cases where somebody with a gun at, let's say, a mall or something like that, you know, took down a shooter or prevented a shooter from taking more lives. So there have been cases where good guys with guns have saved lives in those kinds of situations. And to your point, a criminal is not going to care what a gun reform law says or does. A criminal and a crazy person will not be stopped by a gun reform law. Donald Trump, Joe Biden keeps talking about how we should ban quote assault weapons. That's the phrase he and other Democrats always use. But the shooter in the Covenant School shooting had a handgun. That would not have been barred from any sort of gun control effort. She still could have used a handgun to shoot and kill kids and adults at that school and even force her way into the school with a handgun. So these things don't work.
Absolutely, Chris. To your point, if you ban, quote, assault rifles and then and then people start using pistols or shotguns, then they're going to go after those. Hey, thanks, Chris, for coming on. Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Chris. That's Chris Woodward, American Family News. Walker Wildman here with The Core. Glad to have you with us on the program today on our Friday edition. Don't forget to check out our website, AFR.net, or the AFR podcast, and we'll see you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.